I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party!
Welcome to the podcast of those two girls.
Here we go.
Guys, I have news to break to you on the podcast.
Gracious me.
I know, what a way to start.
What news is that?
So, our boss, Ego, called me
on
Friday. You've met him.
I met him.
Rings a bell.
He called me on Friday and he said, I have a thought I want to propose to you guys. It's up to you if you do it.
To us?
It wasn't up to us. But anyway, he said, I've just been thinking, maybe your podcast opener, it's great that you guys chat. It sounds great. It's good fun to listen to. Maybe it should go at the end. So the good content for the show goes at the start of the podcast. And maybe you do a welcome at the start.
Oh.
Then you do all the good content from the show and then you have
chats at the end. Oh, so this is now the opener.
No, this is the end.
Yeah, but this is our intro.
Hold on. I'm not done with the explanation yet.
Wait, stop. Okay, here's the radio show. Catch us at the end.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
It's Monday, which means we are fresh out of an episode of Married at First Sight last night.
I don't think I couldn't sleep properly, Sarah. That's a lie.
Really?
I slept really well. But
can you not make it was dramatic? Don't make it too dramatic.
I was trying
please.
To make it super dramatic. Look, it really was. It was a great episode. It took 332 hours for it to unfold.
The number of
monologues that they went on about how difficult the decisions were to make. I mean, I fell asleep.
Seeing people making cups of tea, watching the kettle boil, and in those parts of the show, it did feel like that. It was a tedious level. So obviously, we saw Patrick and Charlene last.
Yes.
And they decided to give it a crack in the outside world and stay together. But of course, the real drama, our little llamas, happened in a random paddock in New South Wales where there was an inordinate number of sunflowers set up like a kind of a crop circle.
A shrine.
I mean, we're talking sunflowers in photo frames dangling from trees. And you and I both know, Lise, nothing good comes from sunflowers.
No, we hate sunflowers. But Dean and Tracy were at the centre of last night's ep. What happened, Sarah? Do you want to reveal?
Well, let's just listen to a little bit of Dean, if we may, Scotty. Oh, the music. Oh, God.
I lied to you. Oh. I embarrassed all of us and basically made a huge mess of the whole situation.
Yes, you did.
But somewhere deep down in my heart, I knew there was something that I needed to grasp onto. And in the face of all that chaos, there was a glimmer of hope that I needed to reach for.
Oh, my God.
Yep. And he reached for it. He had a bit of a cry. Obviously, his emotions are quite intense. And he did declare his love. He said, I now know I love you. And I want to grow our future together. As he wiped the tears away from his little red face. And then Tracy, standing across from him gracefully in a white dress, said this.
Oh, hold on.
This experiment has reminded me that when I love a person, I must not forget to take care of myself too, that I trust too easily. This experiment has shaken me awake and helped me see what I'm worth. And unfortunately, Dean. You don't deserve me.
Yes, wait!
Boom! Tracy! We hear
yes.
you.
Woo!
Give it up for Tracy today. In fact, can we just talk about how much that music makes me want to Irish dance when they were playing the crescendo?
I mean, she played him good.
Do you think she did?
Yeah, I reckon she was the protagonist of the whole season. She played it this way. So she stayed in for weeks and then she dumped him at the altar.
Protagonist is a big word for a Monday morning.
Well, I like it. That's how I roll.
Well, tag team.
Sarah, I really want people to call in about this on 13 10 60. I want to know what people think about taking babies to stadium concerts. It's blown up all over the news last week, and I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, it really has, because there's been a couple of parents who've taken their 4- and 6-month-olds off to Ed Sheeran.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are Bubs heading to Aladdin. Obviously, all the big footy games are happening at the moment. So for me, Lise, it never, ever, ever entered my head to take my small child to anywhere where there were thousands of people.
Why?
Ever. Well, one, you can't enjoy. Well, I'll speak for me. I couldn't enjoy myself when you've got to take everything but the kitchen sink. You know what it's like in those early.
Yeah,
you've
got to
take nappies and wipes and, you know, sometimes bottles or, you know, spare changes of clothes. And for me, they're loud. Kids have their little startle reflexes.
Yeah.
Their immune systems aren't fully strengthened then. So exposing them to this just thousands of people, you know, coughing. It's just not my cup of tea. And plus, I'm not a huge concert person anyway. Can I just say that? So
for you,
it's not, that is not my idea of fun. Even if my favourite band was coming to town and if I couldn't organise a babysitter or family to look after them, I'd just stay at home. That's what I'd do.
Yeah, so you'd
and
rather
I'd look at
just,
it on YouTube.
You'd just rather miss out.
I would miss out. Okay. Taking a baby to a stadium concert or game is my personal idea of hell.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you there. I feel like it's not something I would have done. In fact, when my husband was playing footy, I think I took our eldest at the time, Remy, to one game when he was, I don't think he was that young. He was maybe, say, 1 or 11 months old, and I wouldn't have done it again. But that was just me because I was a bit of a stress head. I just found it super loud. He was all over the place, the fireworks going off. But in saying that, these parents who have taken their little babies, I think there was one couple in Adelaide, one in Brisbane, you know, what if they just didn't have a support network? What if they didn't have grandparents or really good friends or aunties and uncles and this was their one and only date night? What if it was one of their, and what if they had a baby that was really placid and was like, whatever, like she's got earmuffs on her head. I'm looking at a photo of the baby.
Well, what if we heard from people on 131060, would you take your baby to a concert?
I think it's one of those things. It's a parenting question. It's like some people will be like, you're overthinking it. Take your baby. Enjoy your life. Life doesn't stop.
I like my
kids.
Life on the couch too.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Guys, last week Sarah and I went down a massive rabbit hole because we have this weird,
I mean, on YouTube, not an actual rabbit hole.
Although
I do want to see Peter Rabbit. Continue.
It is Easter soon. We have this weird fascination with cults. It's sort of along the same line as people who are obsessed with Shark Week. You know, when that comes around, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, I feel the same about cults, Sarah. It's like I'm so terrified of them, but I just want to know more and more and more.
Yes, and me too. So we found an internationally renowned cult expert. His name's Rick Ross, and he's just a guru in all things about destructive cults. So much so, he's been on Oprah, he's featured in Time Mag, all those big-wig publications. So we asked him some questions.
Rick, how would you describe a cult?
Well, a destructive cult is typically built around three core characteristics. One, there is a charismatic leader who's the defining element and driving force of the group, who exercises total control and becomes really an object of worship. Second, the group uses methods of coercive persuasion to gain undue influence over the members, to typically exploit them. And then three, that this undue influence ultimately does harm, that they hurt people, and therefore they would be a destructive cult.
Oh my God, Lise, we can totally do this. We can create our own cult. Just let me ask one more question. Rick, are all cults bad?
No. I mean, it is possible that a group could have a charismatic leader and that leader might be molding his or her followers in a particular way to accept a certain worldview and mindset, but not exploit them. But in my experience, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hear that, Sarah? Power corrupts.
It does.
Get
but that whole
horse.
Thing just reminds me of you trying to get the people of Australia into masseurs. That was your little cult that you tried to start up, didn't get off the ground. Maybe we need to just take it back to basics with us and Scotty right here. Scotty can be our charismatic leader.
Oh, that's pushing it.
Can we just be sister wives?
I'd be down as a sister wife. I like
two of us in little prairie dresses.
I mean, I don't rock a prairie. You are good on the prairie dresses.
I could. You're good on the Excel spreadsheets and the meal planning.
Yes, bulk cooking. Could do that.
We'd be off the hook at bedtime.
That works for me.
I'm going to take control and play an ad break now. Those two girls.
Our charismatic leader. Now, 131060 Australia, we want to know what you think about prenups. Are they a yay or a nay? Because Prince Harry has refused to sign a prenup ahead of marrying his missus-to-be, the delightful Meghan Markle. He reckons their marriage will last the distance. They don't need to safeguard it. He's worth about 54 mil. She's worth seven. You know, potato, potato, really. Mm. They're up there. So, Lise, prenups, yes or no?
Oh, look, I love that he's a romantic. I just kind of feel like if he doesn't sign a prenup, is he protected somewhere down the line anyway? I just think there's something.
Oh, I didn't expect that from you.
Yeah, I'm not saying that he's going out with that in mind. I just think that when you have 54 million and you're a prince,
I'd say he's protected by the fact his grandma's the queen, right?
Well, you know, what's his name? His brother. What's his
William.
Name? William. Oh, you know, I love the royal family, as you can tell. William didn't sign a prenup to Kate either.
No. Did you sign a prenup?
Of course. No. What, to protect my 225 cents?
What would you have done if Dane said to you, before we get married, actually, I need you to sign this?
I would have said, get stuffed. I would have done a, what's her name from Married at First Sight, Tracy.
And said, you don't deserve me. Got the power. Yeah. Well, I'm a no to prenups, first marriage. But I can see how people who get married for their second or third and they've got assets and children to protect would sign a prenup to keep their assets within the family.
Sure. I think there's more to it. I think these boys are protected down the line and they're coming across as true romantics.
Well, look, I would love to hear from people on 131060. Prenups, yes or no? And if we had somebody who had signed a prenup, I'd love to hear your reasons why.
Yes. Okay. I like finding out about people's lives, like unsolicited goss. Except we're soliciting. We want to hear from you.
Married at First Sight, coming to an Edley's.
Yes.
131060, prenups, yes or no? Would you sign one? Do you think people who sign them are silly? We want to take your calls now.
Have you got one?
To put a prenup in place costs a bomb. I remember talking Remember when we were talking to that lawyer? Not about anything for our own lives, just in general, like an interview or something.
What about how we're going to run off together? Yeah.
And she said to put a prenup in place, you've got to be loaded to begin with. It's not something that you put in place if you just own, you know, like a car and a shack.
Okay. Anonymous on 131060. That's a beautiful name. What do you think about prenups? Are they a yes or a no in your life?
I would go yes at the moment. I've just come out of a really long-term relationship that I thought was going to open my life with this guy. And, I've come out with, I think, pretty well. So I'm kind of thinking I'm not a very good romantic at the moment. So I just think it might happen again. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. So did you lose out at the end of that relationship?
No. Like, I've become quite not... I've come out better, I would say, but I just...
Once bitten, twice shy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's great. Aaron on 131060. Prenups a yup or a nup from you?
It does say here that Aaron might be serving at work.
Aaron's busy.
Aaron's making money for his prenups.
Yes, we'll come back to him. Matthew on 131060. Do you agree or disagree with prenups?
Oh, I don't reckon you need one. I reckon once you get to that marriage statement, you've sort of committed yourself to a long-term relationship. So
you're saying if you trust someone enough to marry them, you shouldn't be signing a piece of paper about who keeps what if it splits, yeah.
That shouldn't be a factor, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Matthew, if it's good enough for Prince Harry, it's good enough for you, isn't it?
Yeah, right. I think, you know, money should be an issue, you know what I mean? Like, it's... If he's decided that she's the one that he wants, then why not?
Yes, it rings warning bells of trust issues for me as well.
That's exactly the way I feel, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
I get it. The thing is, though, guys, a lot of people get married and in that blissful state of early marriage, you do trust that person, everything's great, and then life happens.
Yes.
And then people take people to the cleaners.
Yes.
When you never thought that would happen. I'm not saying...
Yes, if you can remove the emotion from it and treat it as a business transaction, yeah. Which I think is it's very hard to do for me.
But then just don't get married then. Like, just leave it. Like, don't get married.
Oh, God, you're full of good love advice today, aren't you?
Did Lise just kill Ro there?
I think she did, guys.
I don't know where you're... I think you've done a 180.
You know what? I'm a month away from turning 38. That's it. I'm done.
So what?
Well, I just
that's
think...
That's it?
Your
love life's over?
No, I just think you get to a point... In, no, not at all. You just get to a point in life where you look at things differently.
True.
You're a little bit more grounded. I'm open...
To a prenup. Oh, here comes the sad
music. It's just become Married at First Sight in here. Oh, this is Those Two Girls.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Went camping on the weekend, Sarah, with my little family.
You did?
You know how we love the beach.
I do. Don't understand it, but I understand that about you.
I know. I tried to get you down there once, but
you did
to no
in
avail.
A cabin.
Yeah. I was like, I'll get you a cabin and a tarp
that's
to
a negative
put around your shoulders. Anyway. Went to the beach, had a ball, quite literally had a ball, because our eldest son, Remy, who's 8, has started AFL this season. So part of his homework is to take his ball everywhere with him. It's sort of, you know, so that they really get familiar with how it feels, how to throw it, how to catch it, how to kick it, whatever. That was his homework for the week, take the ball everywhere. So beach is the perfect place to do that. We had a kick, we had a few throws, what have you. And then, you know, it was getting to that high point of the day where I was like, I've got to get them out of the sun. So I said to them, go down, wash yourselves off in the water. And I said to Remy, go wash your ball. And he looked at me and he said, Mum, I have two. Mother of boys, I laughed. I was like, yes, son, you do. Yes, I actually didn't mean those balls. I meant the AFL ball, but okay. As if I didn't know, Sarah, that my son had two balls. I mean, this is where their minds go. I high-fived him. I loved it.
Oh,
I was like, that's good humour.
So
that is good humour.
You act shocked, but then you're like, mate, give it to me. Up high.
Yes. I was like, that's good, isn't it?
See, I know I stare at you a bit blank-faced when you say those things, but as a mother of two daughters, it just seems very foreign to me. I don't know how you cope, quite frankly.
Thank God. It was... just brilliant. I was proud as punch, Scotty. Wouldn't you have been?
I would have corrected him. I would have gone, you got three, mate. You got your AFL one.
Yeah. You two should get together after the show.
Remy's coming.
Why is your face red?
I had to go into the bathroom and see a man about a blackhead.
Are you kidding? In the middle of our show.
Yes, I'm sorry. I felt it.
You're doing extractions in this work bathroom.
Well, I was exfoliating on the beach with some sand, and this is the result. Oh. Who needs facials?
What about those videos that people put on Facebook all the time?
Yeah, I can't handle those. Oh, I cannot handle those.
No, and on that note...
enjoy your breakfast.
That's a great way to start your Monday.
See you guys.
Okay, so the story I was telling you before we played out the radio show, which was forced on us by Sarah, was then on Saturday night, I caught up with Dom from Collective Now, the show that's on like
love
5
them.
Hours before us, but while everyone's in bed. And they would say the show that's on 5 hours ahead of us while everyone's in bed.
Yes.
And Dom was saying, he was like, with the podcast opener, why don't you put it at the end? So then you get all the good content from the show. And I was like, yeah,
I reckon Ego's been in everyone's ear in the network. And it's like, guys, I just want you to talk to Scotty and say, how about putting
But then Dom made a really good point. He was like, your podcast is set up in a way that it's like, here's the show we just did. Whereas the people listening to the podcast are listening to it as if it's the first time it's been heard. And so whenever we talk in the opener about stuff like, you know, on Friday's show where it's like, does Lise have nits? It was pretty obvious in the podcast opener it didn't. So we actually spoiled that for people.
Oh, good. Oh,
I know.
How disappointing.
I don't know how I feel about this change.
Yes, I'm up for it. I'm up for change. Change is good.
Well, this podcast is changed. We'll see how it goes.
And when the boss says we do something, we do it.
Maybe he'll listen today and go, actually, no, take it back.
I think I just became Ego's favourite.
Well, what has been getting funny is the fact that we have 20 minutes of radio show at 28
That's
minutes.
That's what I love about it.
Well, now
it.
It'll be at the end.
It speaks of people's endurance. If they can get through the opener
they
and
deserve
then get
the radio
the show,
show,
they deserve to be downloadees. And if they don't,
fans.
They're just soft. That's how I see Ego, if you're listening. That's how I feel about it. We're weeding out the men from the boys.
What? Do you want to get rid of Ego?
Women. Damn it.
That's
I didn't
not
mean
nice.
That. No, I didn't
wow.
mean that. I didn't
wow.
mean that.
Wow. Wow, Scotty. Can you control her? Can you tell Dom that this happened and Dom can feed it back to Ego?
I did what you told me to say.
Yes, and this happened.
Or is this whole thing just Scotty? No one else is involved. It's just Scotty wanting to change things up, and he's using
you're gonna see
Ego and Dom.
When
and
you
and
guys,
if we hit them up, they'll be like, what?
When you guys come back in at 9 this about. Morning, Ego and I'll be in that meeting room over there, and he'll be like, stop using my name!
Yes, yeah. Just with the sleep thing about the shows, have you found, Lise, when people say, oh, what time are you on? And you say 5 to 6, they get very guilty because, oh, I'm sorry, I don't listen. I'm still in bed. I'm really sorry. I'm like, it's okay.
But don't do that anymore. Now
yeah,
just stare
at
them.
But there's a podcast that goes for 1 hour and 37 minutes. So, sucks
isn't
to
it,
be you.
Isn't it like I would never, ever, 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 ever get up at 5 a.m. if I wasn't working? Like, the people who are like, I just love it. I get up, I read the news, I go for a walk. I'm like, I hate you.
Well, yes, on the weekend I had the thought that I would get up at 5 a.m. because I just had so much stuff to get done before I ferried the kids out and about. I didn't do it, but but the seed has been implanted because I do think there's a sense of calm. When you get up and the house is quiet and, in fact, the world is pretty quiet at that time and you can just chew through your to-do list, there is a real sense of achievement in that. I would to think that I continue with early morning, not 2:30 in the morning, but being a 5 a.m. person permanently.
I think as you get older, maybe.
They say all of the biggest entrepreneurs in the world are all 4 or 5 a.m. risers.
Yep. And that they exercise in the morning, they get that done. I felt on top of the world on those mornings when I've come home and people are still in bed and I've got lunches done and I've got a load of washing on and I've already exercised. I feel smug. Very smug. And I like that, Scott.
That's good.
I have something to raise with you guys, although I think I might put it in tomorrow's show.
Can you give us a hook?
Well.
Oh.
Yeah. Raise it now.
I'll raise it.
If it goes really well, we can cut it out. And we'll leave all of this in.
All right. So pressure's on. Do this it's live on air.
What
wrong
do you guys think when you see a kookaburra?
I think
is there a message from above?
Sits in
like,
the
is there a superstition?
Yeah, I think that
no, no,
too.
No. Like, is there a superstition around when you see a kookaburra?
None at all.
Is it going to rain? If you see a kookaburra,
I see.
Is there a meaning associated with
I was going to say if I had a feeling associated, it'd be that they just seem very regal, like I need to respect them. But there's no.
No, I mean, I saw your Instagram stories on the weekend and I saw Dane's big hand with food out to it. So I'd say the kookaburra was coming to steal your scraps.
What are you? What do you think it means?
You're missing what I'm saying.
No, I get it. Like crows mean death.
That's right.
Yeah,
yeah. Do you not have something like that with kookaburras?
No. Why? What's yours?
Okay, because on my Instagram stories over the weekend, while we were camping, there were these two beautiful kookaburras that were hanging around our campsite. So tame, beautiful, perched on the boy's bike. Well, I got a message from a lady. Let me pull it up. It scared the bejesus out of me because...
Really?
Oh, yeah. She wrote to me... Oh, hold on. No, that's the wrong person. Hold on, let me
was
find
it. From
no,
Sarah
that's
Will.
Also the wrong. Oh, come on. No.
Lucky
also
this
wrong.
Isn't live on air.
Here we go. She Instagram messaged me after I put the photograph up of the
kookaburra.
I put a photo up of the kookaburra. She messaged me and said, usually means there's a baby on board. What? And I said, shut your face.
Wait, what does she mean? What does she mean by that?
It means because you're pregnant, Scotty.
Hello.
I meant to press this one. That wasn't a baby saying hello. That was me saying. It doesn't mean there's a baby. So what? Every time you see a kookaburra, it means there's a baby.
It means there's a. Well, I don't know. She said yes. It's truth. She said, if there's a kookaburra, I don't know.
Aboriginal legend says the kookaburra's infamous songs of laughter each morning
is a sign
for the sky people to light the great fire that illuminates the earth by day.
No, it wasn't laughing. It was just there staring at me.
Yeah.
For that reason,
because
I did not
know. Your husband was feeding
it. Yeah, that's right. God, talk about going deep.
Well, it says.
As a symbol in dreams, these birds, you have a great need for social gatherings and people. Perhaps you had to isolate yourself for a while and now you feel like it's time to reconnect with people in your life. You were at Fingal with your family.
Well, why would she say usually means there's a baby on board? Oh. Where did she get her information from? Mrs. Davos? That's her name. I mean, imagine that. Thanks, yeah. But no thanks.
I'm reading that too. There's
nothing to do with babies or pregnancy. Okay. Can you type in kookaburra?
What do kookaburras mean?
No, can you just type in kookaburra and pregnancies? Except I don't want to know about kookaburras being pregnant.
Oh, gosh.
What?
It's just full of baby forums.
What?
And old wives' tales.
Okay, yes. What's the old wife tale?
Meaning someone was, if a kookaburra was hanging around, it means someone was pregnant.
See?
No, it didn't.
Where has that come from?
People who are bored. People who want to put meaning.
Scare the bejesus
people who just want to put purpose and meaning into things that don't have any more purpose and meaning than a kookaburra sitting on a tree. Oh, gosh, I'm going to cop it.
Oh, listen, I'm going to cop it today. I'm in a baby forum on old wives' tales.
Here we go.
Listen to this.
Are you being a kookaburra right now?
If you have an ugly pregnancy, having a girl because she's stealing your beauty.
Can I see some photos from your pregnancy, Sarah?
I've shown you more.
Hang on. Can we put Sarah's pregnancy photo up as our podcast artwork?
Today? If we've got the photo, I'll do it. Can you tag me that?
Show me.
Just look down at your phone.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Look down at your phone right now and see what you could see. No, I'm not talking to you. I'm in people who are listening to the podcast.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Because
I've been
on your phone right
phone.
Now is going to be a fantastic photo of Sarah.
Just put the one from her neck down.
Well, they're both kind of together, but look,
is it the one image? Okay, I get it.
Yeah, we have touched on this before, but I was rather behemoth, and I did have multiple chins and lost my eyes. I had so much hair though when I was pregnant. God, it was amazing because naturally I've got quite fine, thin hair, and I just felt like, it was good.
I was visiting I was over for lunch with a friend of mine yesterday. And she's got a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old.
Mm.
And the 7-year-old girl is like almost a version of Lise Carlaw in terms of she has a sheet of paper in her room where she marks her family members and various people at school, including her teacher, on how they've gone that week. She has like a star chart.
Really?
Of who's done well. Yeah. People get points removed when they annoy her.
When have I ever done anything like that?
It's very spreadsheety. It's in the realm of spreadsheety.
It is.
Did you ever, like, as a student, did you ever look at your teachers and think, I could do this better? I have a better idea of what's going on here.
Let me think.
No.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, it's a personality type. There are people with a personality type where...
Oh, yes, I can remember certain kids who were just a level of smart that was, you know, Stephen Hawking kind of level, who probably felt the teachers weren't up to their standard. Mm.
Yeah, that wasn't me.
Now I'm worried. Do we need to do pregnancy tests?
Oh, my God.
On air. We'll make it a stunt, guys. I'll do one too.
I have put on weight. I sent Lisa a panicked message on the weekend going, holy shit. I've put on 4 kilos since we started this show.
But that's totally feasible, though.
And I thought, I don't feel like I'm at the 4 kilo weight gain. My pants have been feeling a smidge firm. But it turned out the day after it was my scales. It's only one and a half. I never get on them.
Would you
that
be
was
happy
why
if
I was like,
pregnant?
Oh, this has gotten a bit...
Would you be happy if you were pregnant?
No.
Guys, let's not go there.
No, I feel done with my family. That would be a great shock.
Can you just open the door? There's just something outside the door. Can you just open the door?
What is in there?
I don't know. That's why I want him to open it. Oh, gosh. Please, they're following you. You must be pregnant.
I mean...
Oh my God, that was very elaborate, Scotty.
I know, but so worth it.
I mean, I'll tell you, if I see another one today, I'll start being scared.
Ben did open the door, by the way, and then stood there really confused. I was like, why did you do this?
I'm pretty sure they were. Like,
then you'll be on the Daily Mail. Lee's Carlaw shown throwing bricks at innocent kookaburra.
And you know what?
Lee's Carlaw tackles kookaburra.
But then when you guys like go and have like a national drive show or something and it rates a number one, it'll be like this amazing photo of you and then the photo of Lee's tackling the kookaburra. Because it's what they'll have on file. Lee's Carlaw pictured here attacking a kookaburra.
I mean, God, no, thanks.
How brilliant would it be? Now I've caught on this thought. How brilliant would it be if the newspaper was doing a story on you guys and it was a picture of like Dane and in the background on the seat at the football stadium was Lee's and it's like Lee's Carlaw pictured here at the Suncorp Stadium Origin 3 game in 2006.
Not well. Sort of funny.
I think it's funny. Does anyone else think it's funny?
Stop.
That guy does.
I've just never heard of
that. Yeah, I mean, I just think you're in a camping. I haven't heard of it either, but, you know, you're in a campsite where they're being fed all the time. That's why they're tame and hanging around.
Amazing. We fed it by hand.
Mm.
But, like, that's the thing I find really hard.
What'd you feed it?
Oh, I don't know. A wafer.
Chips. God. Something natural to their diet.
A hazelnut wafer. I didn't have any meat.
At what point
camping.
Do you draw
no
the
way.
Line?
You're like, I did have meat. I wasn't going to give it to the kookaburras. Yeah.
No, we
That's
didn't
more
we
your
hadn't
style.
Gone shopping at that point. We were just living on wafers and 2-minute noodles.
Wow, holidaying with you sounds amazing.
The kids love it. We just eat like, bought Tim Tams, we bought wagon wheels.
But you didn't bring meat.
No. We bought a kilo of prawns, which the children won't eat.
Oh, and you wonder why the kookaburras were hanging around.
Well, at what point does it get to being like, Lee's, you're near a beach. You know what that means? Well, we drove here. Like, we chose to be here. There's no superstition in this. This is where we're holidaying.
I think it's the landing of the kookaburra. If a kookaburra comes and lands by you, it must be that. It's not you're hearing a kookaburra. It's like a kookaburra comes and just, like, perches itself right in your vision, right in your eye line. Boom.
Boom, up the duff.
Up the duff.
And that's how babies
and
are made.
And Dane would have been like, which is his classic dad joke, not my kid.
That is good.
It's always.
That's really good.
Not my kid.
That's really good.
you know that friend of ours who fell pregnant at 45 and she said when she told her husband, she was shocked, only found out when she was 4 months pregnant or what have you.
Oh, yeah.
And she was shocked. And when she told her husband, he actually said, is it mine? And she was like, yes, of course it's yours. Oh, but, you know, God. They'd been having relations, you know, few and far between, I suppose. But, yeah, there you go. Surprise. Yeah. Mm.
Have you guys gotten into Black Mirror on Netflix?
Yeah, I've watched the main ep.
Oh, the which main one's one. That? I've seen the first three of season one. That's all I've seen.
The social media one.
I haven't seen the social media
that
one.
Is scary af. Get onto that.
You should watch it through.
You will love
it's
it.
The scariest part about how intense it is
it's
is
so
every
scary.
Part of it is like.
Can you please tell me about it? I don't know what you're talking
so
about.
So Black Mirror is this show on Netflix and the basic concept of it is it melds technology mm-hmm. that is probably quite close with the worst of the human condition yeah. and how combined the two of those together just how
so crappy. That's what I was telling you about
oh,
the
wait,
other day.
Are
how
you talking
China...
about the Prime Minister one?
No. Oh, okay. How it's happening, oh. how China have now approved a social rating system, which is based off of the episode of Black Mirror, where people go around holding their phones all day long. Hello, we're already doing that. And every time you have an interaction with somebody, you rate them on a star system. So if you go up and get your coffee, you rate that person on a 1 to 5 scale and then you're given a rating. So, Scotty, you might be a 4.2.
I doubt that. I'd be a 5, but okay. yeah.
So then what happens is that the main character in that episode becomes obsessed with her rating because obviously the higher the rating, the better...
And as if that wouldn't happen.
Of course. The better perks you get. You get invited to everything. You make more money. You meet better people.
I mean, imagine the opportunities for bullying.
Yeah, she...
We'd just be like, we'll give you a 0 rating.
Well, she lives her life just being worried about how people are going to perceive her.
Wow.
So she never gets angry. She doesn't want to offend people. If people give her a bad rating, she just, you know, self-flagellates about it and wow. then she goes nuts. Oh, it's a
so
really good episode.
That's terrifying. That's
she comes through, she comes, like, there's a resolution in the story.
Which,
but if you
there isn't always with Black Mirror. There isn't always a resolution.
This one kind of is. It's, you know, there's something happens. But, yeah, if you have an hour, watch it. It's really, really good.
I saw one.
Watch it with your kids or watch it with your teenager.
Yeah, but don't watch all of them with your kids. There are some that are horrific.
Yeah, right.
The first episode is like, okay, so Sarah, if you're going to watch it, be aware that the first episode of season one is horrid. Like,
what's it about?
Horrible. So I'll just tell you, the first season of episode one, this hacking group uploads a video to YouTube and shows they've kidnapped the princess, a royal princess, the most popular royal princess, like think Princess Diana level.
Yep.
And then says, until the British Prime Minister goes on TV and has sex with a pig live on TV,
what?
On every TV channel, we're going to kill her. Unless it happens at 4 p.m. this afternoon, we're going to kill her.
Why?
And they can't track where these guys have come from. And so it's like, what do? Do you allow the most popular princess?
Do you know what? I actually have no interest in watching that because there is so much horrific stuff that's already happening in the world. I just don't feel like I need any more of that in my head.
I agree. The challenge of it is, though, when we see new stuff arrive. So, for example, an episode I watched over the weekend that was amazing is where they install a memory card that connects to your brain and everything you've ever seen is saved. And so you can go back over stuff and all of that and it kind of deconstructs how dangerous that idea is, even though it seems like a good idea, how dangerous it is.
Yeah.
And one of the things that happens at the start of the episode that I've talked to a few people about and most people didn't notice it is he's sitting in an evaluation meeting and one of the head lawyers at the firm he works at goes... Actually, one of the new areas of litigation we're looking into is going back over people's childhoods and finding where their parents neglected them so they can sue them. And as if that wouldn't happen. As if that wouldn't be something
it's
that would happen.
It's a very depressing. It is very
I just want to watch the dark. Married at First Sight reunion.
It is ready for Bachelor dark. In Paradise?
Oh I am so ready.
When does that start?
Sunday night.
Yes.
Sunday night.
Yes.
There was an article about
I mean, Apollo's on it. Do you know what? One of my builders looks like Apollo.
Apollo was so handsome, but a bit bland. But
he'll
you know
he'll
the goods will come
side.
Through with Jared and
he'll
Kira.
He'll show us a different side in Bachelor of
Lorena
Paradise.
Lorena is on.
I know.
Kira. Oh.
Kira's on.
Kira. I mean, these... Oh, I'm excited.
So am I. I really am.
Yeah, it's my one guilty pleasure, I think, is just trash reality TV.
It's going to be a controversial reality year, I reckon, because
I can only
everyone's
focus
got to be
on
married
one.
At first sight now.
Yes, I can only focus on one at a time. I don't have the mental capacity for more than that. Like, I can't do Married at First Sight and My Kitchen Rules whatever. Yeah.
Can I say that?
Yeah, you can say it. It's our podcast.
Say what?
I hate My Kitchen Rules and I hate MasterChef. And I hate that other stupid cooking show.
You can say that because you hate all of them.
Yeah.
If you only hated one of them, that'd be a problem with our relationship with that network.
I just think, get over it. Can you give us a different
do you know what?
Format?
Also, because when the cooking shows initially came out, it was all about skill.
Mm.
And that's why they were so great to watch, because as somebody who is not culinary inclined at all, it was like, oh my gosh, they know how to do that without a recipe. Aren't they talented?
I prefer MasterChef.
But there's such a level of bitching.
Oh, yeah. It's all drama now.
It's all drama around food.
Yeah. Do you, if you ever want a feel-good moment, if you ever want to cry, have a bit of a cry to yourself?
I mean, can I just say, I am partial to a tear, but only at a normal level. I'm not an excessive
crier. No, get ready. I'll tell you what you'll... I'll say this to you, Sarah, because Lee's won't. go and look for, in the UK, Gordon Ramsay did a whole heap of guest episodes on MasterChef Kids. Remember when they did the kids version?
Oh, yeah.
And he did a whole heap
in the UK. But go and watch Gordon Ramsay on MasterChef UK, and it will, like, you'll be in tears by the end of it. Like,
really?
Kids are having breakdowns, and he's like, hey, what's going on? Talk to me. What's going on? And he's just like the perfect father figure to all of these kids.
And then you get him on his other show, and he's like, are you effing kidding me?
Yes.
Well, I can see him being like that.
Well, the other cool one is to watch him and his teenage daughter. They often do shows together.
Yes, I've seen that.
And she just walks all over.
Yeah, my girls love watching that show. Yeah. Matilda is her name, I think.
Like
yeah, and they go on surfing adventures and then they cook together, and it's nice. I don't mind Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, I like him.
He's a man after my own heart. His only problem is he just doesn't like people who are stupid and lazy. Like, he's not, I don't think he's overly harsh.
No.
I think if you're running a restaurant into the ground because you're an idiot, then cool.
I mean, what child would go on MasterChef, though?
Well, but some kids are.
Remember the winners were those twins from.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're from All Hallows.
They're local girls,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's.
Do you think it's a passion?
Well, yes, I do. I think the way some kids are passionate about sport.
Yeah, what kids would play sport at a professional level? Look at the way private boys' schools treat rugby.
All right. Settle down. I just find it difficult to believe that an 8-year-old knows how to do a bloody croc en bouche. Okay? That's a lie.
But I think that's because they've obviously sat with their parents and they've taken them through the cooking process the whole time. So it's kind of ingrained in them from a very early age, or their grandma or something.
You agree that Rebby doesn't cook? Are you angry that Rebby hasn't cooked you anything?
No, okay.
Dane taught him how to barbecue when we were over at your house.
Yeah, he knows how to barbecue.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
What part do you want
to
cut out?
I mean, I'm saying this like I'm supportive of kids cooking, but whenever my girl's like, we just want the blue food colouring to make a potion. I'm like, no.
But that's not cooking.
Can we use the flour? No.
That's silliness. Reset that. I think it's wonderful that kids are passionate about cooking. I just find it a little bit difficult to believe that they know how to, like, put a piece of salmon sous vide.
I don't even know what
that is. Exactly.
So, thank you.
Does that just mean grilled?
No, you get a piece of meat or a piece of fish and you seal it in a vacuum seal bag. And then you marinate it. It's like a
like the Atlantic salmon I bought from Aldi on the weekend.
It's French.
It's just sealed.
Yes,
it's just vacuum fresh.
It's a technique where you put, like, how would they know that?
Have you actually seen this on a kids' cooking show, or are you just pulling this out because you want to say sous vide and that it's French? Jesus Christ, that's what it was, wasn't it?
It was a long way to get there, but you did in the end.
Guys, every second cooking term is French. That didn't take me much to get to.
So annoying.
I don't agree. I'll name you some cooking terms that definitely aren't French.
Go.
Hors d'oeuvres.
That's French, you tool. Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Say, can you please say that's French, you tool, in French? No. Do it.
Now I feel bad for saying that kids can't cook. They can cook. I'm great. I'm supportive. If my child was cooking, I'd put him on MasterChef.
Can you just say... That is French, you tool.
No.
Just do it. Let's teach people something.
No. I don't like speaking French to non-French speakers.
Wow. If that just isn't the arrogant French coming out, I don't know what is.
Now I feel bad. Can we cut the whole MasterChef out?
Wow.
Why?
Because I didn't mean to offend people whose kids have... I think that's great if they have interests outside of sport. God knows my kids aren't interested in sport.
There was nothing offensive about it. Trust me, my offensive barometer comes up very quickly. There was nothing in that.
I just don't like those cooking shows. That's what I meant. If your kid is a magnificent chef, I would like to interview them because that I'm interested in. If they're on a TV show, thanks, but no thanks.
Do you know what? You know something? Can we just talk about kids on TV shows? I only realised recently that Tracy on Married at First Sight has a daughter.
Yes.
And
didn't
I read.
You know
no,
that?
I didn't. I must have missed that in the show.
Oh, because you didn't watch the first few episodes. No. Yeah, she has an 8-year-old.
Yeah, but what? Something. But correct me if I'm wrong, she didn't put her on camera at all.
Yeah, correct.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I think that is.
She didn't bring. None of them did this season.
Yeah.
A lot of them had kids and none
yes,
of them did.
Yes, because I only found out that Telv has.
Yeah, Telv has two
kids. Has
kids
as well.
Yeah, none of them did. So I don't know if it was a general production decision.
Well, I read a
or
quote
if it was
from
a personal...
Tracy. I don't know where it was, whether it was on an article or what have you. And she just said it was her choice not to involve her little 8-year-old daughter.
And that's why she dumped
show.
Dean. She knew the whole time she was going to dump him.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I mean, I.
Yeah, I reckon she played him like a fiddle. And now she's had all this airtime, which I'm not saying is necessarily a good thing for her, but she's had them on air, him and her. She used him to stay on air the same way he used her to create drama, and then she dumped him publicly.
I think she certainly punished him by saying you can't get away with that behaviour and, you know, leopard
doesn't. And the thing is she has a daughter.
Yeah.
So she knew the outcome.
Yeah.
She knew what the outcome was going to be.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
Yeah, why are you smirking?
I just had a really good idea. But I'm going to do it before. I'm going to make it happen before I tell you what it is.
No,
you're going to sign Remy up to MasterChef, aren't you?
That smile of yours irritates me. What is it?
I just want to do a podcast where we get Lee's on a run about Junior MasterChef and then have Izzy and Sophia, the winners of MasterChef, walk in.
No, because I didn't express myself correctly. I love kids who do things differently and who think outside of the box and who have talents that aren't mainstream. I take issue with cooking shows that have been the same for the last 15 years. That is so boring to me. Like, why don't they do cooking shows like when we used to, the ones we used to watch when we were kids? There was a cooking show that was really fun. It was like a Dare, Double Dare type cooking. Don't make them cook stupid shit that kids won't even eat. Like aubergines in freaking marinated in
hors d'oeuvres,
100-year-old duck eggs. Like, kids don't eat that. Like,
do you guys go to Jocelyn's Provisions?
Yes, it's
no. I mean, I like it, but it's out of my way.
Do they do cooking?
Isabella does them, yeah.
That's fabulous.
I hope she listens to the
podcast.
I send
my kids off to a.
I just would like to know from her if a lot of it was.
I've sent my 7-year-old off to a cooking class before.
I think it's great. I just don't like the stupid show. It bores me to tears.
I would rather watch the kids' cooking shows than the adult ones. There's a couple in America that they do as well. The kids are making ice cream from scratch. I'm impressed. I mean, I can't do any of that.
Can we delete this entire podcast?
No!
Scotty, don't.
What, do you think you're going to...
All the kids from Junior MasterChef had a reunion recently. We should have set you on at least.
It's not the kids. The kids are exceptional human beings. They are. What I'm saying is I'm attacking the format. I feel insulted that the format is still running from when I was in my early 20s to now my late 30s. Do they think we're so dumb that we are still entertained by the same format? The kids are remarkable. The kids are talented. They're interesting. They're out of the box. I like them. I would be friends with them if they would be friends with me. I'd have them make dinner for me. I am in awe of their skill. What I'm not in awe of are the bloody producers who think, oh, I've got a good... I've got a good idea. Let's do the exact same show we did last season. Oh, brilliant. That's a good idea. People will be entertained by that. They won't remember that we did this exact same thing only 2 months ago. I'm insulted. Like, come up with something different. Come up with something. Is it that hard? Now clearly it is.
Now you're insulted.
Do you know what they're going to do next? I know. The next edition of MasterChef or My Kitchen Rules will be the pets. Come on, get your pets together. Let's get the pets cooking.
Oh, so what?
Cooking.
Now you're saying that kids
now
can only cook as well
you,
as domesticated
now you hate
animals.
People who can cook who have pets?
No, no, no.
Can you
it'll
just
be
calm
like,
down.
You
it'll
hate
be,
cat people. Is that you, what you're trying to say?
It'll be like bring your animal to MasterChef and do something, a culinary experience, a cat culinary experience. That's the level of bullshit I'm talking about.
You could
that's
do,
what it's going to be next. Or it's going to be
bring
like.
Your kookaburra.
Or it's going to be like. It's going to be like Master Chef through the generations, and it's going to be like grandma, daughter, son.
See that, I like that idea.
But
what
it's
a
so
cool
boring.
Idea.
Can we
it's
pitch
not
that?
A good. It's not a cool idea. Who cares? Who cares? My grandma can cook. My mum can cook.
It was just so fresh. And it was so moist and succulent.
Well, I think we've just nominated your family
no,
for that generational
I'm telling
Master
you,
Chef.
There are people listening to this podcast going, yes, Lise, Master, all those formats are so old now. I mean, at least, I hate it. At least change the warehouse that they're filmed in, for the love of God. I mean, if I stare at that big warehouse one more time...
Oh, God.
Can I? We need to wrap this podcast up. Let me just say.
I'm telling you, I'm not the only one that's irritated.
Let me just say, as we wrap this podcast up, for anyone that's gotten this far through, both Sarah and I know that Lise has no problem with kids who can cook or kids that go on MasterChef. She just thinks the format should be better.
No, no, I think the format should die. I'm done with the format.
I'm done with defending you.
The format needs to go
what
to
Scott
a better place.
And I also know if you've air. Made it through this podcast is that when Lise gets on her soapbox about something, we just shut up. So if you've been wondering why we've been so quiet, it's because we just let Lise rip like a chainsaw firing up and off she goes. And it's kind of amazing to sit back and watch. It's a real skill as to how quickly you can
I just reckon
think
the people,
on your feet.
I actually think the people at Channel 10, who I like very much, by the way, but I actually think that they're
can you not
the...
ruin our chances of like maybe getting a show one day before you say whatever is going to come out
and
of
I'm
your mouth?
I'm pretty sure it's Endemol producing it, not 10.
I think that they're having the last laugh going, how many years can we do this without someone arcing up? I'm the person arcing up. I'm saying you've had your time in the sun. Okay, take your cooking stuff, take your utensils and get shafted. We're done with you.
You were going to say shove them, weren't you? You just tried to censor yourself. Where were you going to tell them to shove
Sarah,
them?
Sarah, now that we've heard that, what social cause are you going to get behind?
I'm just telling you guys. How can you not think this? Either. How can you not hear that bloody promo music and go, are you kidding me? It's back.
Hey, I need to go work on the breakfast show. I know you've got to go drop your kids off.
I
but
need
if we,
to, oh shit,
if we,
I missed Pilates.
If,
see
we,
ya,
leave,
gone,
if we leave this mic on and this recording, we'll come back at 9.
Oh, she'll still be going, we'll have both left. She'll just be like, and what about a kookaburra?
Imagine if a kookaburra landed at MasterChef.
Yeah. Oh my God, they'd make another 3 series of that.
All right. Okay, I'm exhausted. And I think I've spoken for about 30 seconds.
I'm going to Pilates. Bye.
Bye.
Sorry if I fed. Now I feel freaking terrible. I really do.
You were just on at me before. Sarah, you have to have an opinion. People want people to have opinions. And then you put your opinion out in all its nude, naked, ranty glory. And then you're like, I feel freaking terrible.
I don't feel terrible about hating the cooking shows.
We even tried to defend you. We tried to step in and say, we get it. And then you got angry at that.
I know.
Bye.
I know the anger gets misdirected.
Well, that was a podcast of Those Two Girls.